Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Tom McNew, and I am with Father Augustine, the pastor here at Holy Family in Copper's Cove. We're going to talk a little bit about his experience at the National Eucharistic Congress and the pilgrimage out there and all the great and wonderful things that we all got to, those of us that were stuck here in Central Texas got to witness via digital means. So, Father, thanks for sitting down with us, and let's talk a little bit. First and foremost, you know, kind of why did you, or was there a particular thing that said, yes, this is something that I want to do, that I want to ask my boss for time off and go do?
Well, thank you, Tom. It's good to be here. It's a special privilege. I appreciate this opportunity. Yes, the National Eucharistic Congress that we attended in Indianapolis, Indiana. It was an adventure. At first, last year, when the talk came up, the idea and all the discussions, I kind of thought, okay, one more thing to do. So I was not thinking about that. I had a lot on my plate, and I had other things I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. However, I was focused mainly on promoting devotion, adoration, promoting prayer and attention to the Most Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Through adoration. We have an ongoing adoration chapel that, 24 hours people sign up for. So I was more focused on getting that going. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, also the Corpus Christi processions that we have every year,
right,
was a priority for me. So going off to another state, another city, on a pilgrimage for the Eucharistic Congress sounded great, but I didn't think that that was something I could do back in the, in a year ago. Mm-hmm. But as the time came closer and the Lord kind of decided to remove some of those other things on my plate and say, okay, now you should focus on this a little more and think about it. I did. And what happened was, 3-4 months before this month, arrangements were made. I had a group of parishioners who came together and they said, we've made arrangements and these are the plans. We would like you to be part of it. And we had meetings and we talked about it. I was going to just send people from the parish, mm-hmm, to go experience the Congress. But I thought, this is what I want to experience myself.
Sure.
I want to be there. I want to be present. It is something I would like to experience. I'm originally from Nigeria. So in Nigeria, where I come from, the Eucharistic Congress is a big deal. I think they used to have it like once every 10 years. The last one was over 12 years ago. And people will come, millions of people, mm-hmm, if not, and it's like a lot. And people will gather and, you didn't have as good as provisions for accommodation as you have in this Congress.
Sure.
But people will sacrifice and do whatever it takes to be there. So I thought, okay, that's the kind of experience I would like to have going to this Congress. So let me go and see. It's like a come and see kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
How is this going to be? So it's more for me like curiosity kind of thing, the
okay,
right kind of curiosity.
Yeah.
So we went off. We had a place to stay, prearranged, mm-hmm, transportation, prearranged. And then we got there on that Wednesday, the 17th. Registration was the first thing.
Yeah. A lot of people standing in lines.
Oh, my goodness. There were so many people. I haven't seen so many people in one place who are Catholic at once.
Did you fly up there or did y'all drive as a group?
So we flew from Austin,
okay,
to Dallas. Now, that one cool thing happened in the plane. While we were in the plane from Dallas to Indianapolis, it happened that most of the people in the plane were going to the Eucharistic Congress. And the pilot, before he took off, gave a shout out to, he said, I know I have Catholics in the plane who are going
That's
to the Congress.
Awesome.
And everybody cheered, woo! That was awesome. That like
wow.
That was so exciting.
Yeah.
And then when you look around, you see like almost everybody in this plane is going to this Congress.
That's awesome.
That was like that was really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, good, good. I think this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. So we got there, and it was time for registration. They had a priest and deacon line, which was like express. So we got our registration done pretty quick. But the rest of my group were stuck in the line for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, let me just be in this line with them and see how it goes. And we were there talking and chatting for 3 hours.
Wow.
The line came from outside the conference center, around the building, inside the building, inside the corner, into the rooms. And it was like endless. Now, one of the miracles, I don't know if I should call this a Eucharistic miracle, is that people stood in that line. It was taking forever. It didn't quite feel like it was forever, but you could tell time was going.
Sure.
And secondly, nobody was complaining.
Mm.
I was like, huh. I haven't seen people stay in a line, any line for 3 hours and not complain.
So, usually it only takes about 3 minutes.
Yeah, like, okay, something good is happening here. The Lord is really present. So that was amazing. People weren't complaining. It took a long time, and then finally everybody got registered.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day the programs kicked off. There was so much going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Events were kind of overlapping each other. The breakout sessions, sometimes you have more than one that you like to be at, but you can only be at one.
Sure.
And you have the exhibitions and every other thing going on. There was so much going on. There was no dull moment. Let me put it that way. It was go, 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 you know?
Yeah.
We woke up early, 6 a.m., took off, got there. By the time we were before we come back to the house, it's 11 p.m., and then we get some sleep and then wake up again.
Very much like a pilgrimage.
Very, very much like a pilgrimage. So the whole thing together, the experience, being in that stadium, the Lucas Oil Stadium, and being in the midst of over 50,000 people, you look around, it's like a sea of people, and I felt so small. I felt so small, but in a good way. Like, it's good to feel small before Jesus. It's good to feel small before the Lord. And even in the midst of other priests in the procession, when we line up and it's like over 1,000 priests who are there, and you look, you see all these priests who are lining up, coming in, and you just, again, I felt small.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, again, in a good way, because it reminds me that this is not about me. It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
So that smallness of John the Baptist that says to Jesus, you must increase, I must decrease.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I really appreciated. And then you had, during the exposition at the end of the day, at night, after all the talks,
mm-hmm.
it's concluded with adoration, exposition and adoration. What they did with the lights was phenomenal. It's like I've never seen that before. It was phenomenal. So the procession with the monstrance is coming in
mm-hmm.
into the stadium from the side. And then as it comes, it enters the stadium. The light, one beam of light focuses on the priest who's carrying the monstrance.
Wow.
And you have all these other little lights. But this one big beam is focusing on the priest with the monstrance. And in some ways, it feels like God the Father looking at Jesus, this gaze. And then as it's going, you have another light that's kind of, overlooking the rest of the procession, the altar mm-hmm. servers and everything. It's almost like that's the Holy Spirit, surrounding everything. Wow. So it's like the Trinity being present in that moment.
Wow.
And then the procession keeps going slowly until it gets to the altar. And the priest carrying the monstrance climbs the altar. And then the moment he puts down the monstrance, like it's like all these lights. There was this one moment that I was like, I wish I could have captured this on video or a camera. It's like all the lights, all the different lights, it's just there's all of them scramble and come together, and then it's like they're all focused on the monstrance. I don't know how they did that, but it was awesome. Like, it was awesome to see. And the rest of the stadium was dark. And every time that happened, I thought to myself, Jesus is the only one that matters right now. Yeah. Like, everyone else is like, we're in this dark world, groping around, looking for some semblance of light. Mm. And all the light is there. Jesus is the light. He's got all the light. Everywhere else is dark. He's got all the light. And we have to go to him to get some light. We have to go to him to find our way. And I think I don't know if that's how everybody saw it, but that was what was going through my mind. That's in a stadium of over 50,000 people where everywhere is dark.
Yeah.
The monstrance is the only spot where there is light. Christ, the light of the world. So that was very significant for me.
Did you run into anybody that you either hadn't seen in a while, maybe brother priests that you weren't expecting to see?
Yes, I did see some priests that I haven't seen over 10 years.
Yeah.
And then, I also saw some seminarians that I haven't seen in a while. And then we had a reception for the Diocese of Austin and the Diocese of Tyler together.
Oh, okay.
So we all came together. The bishop hosted us. We had other bishops there as well. So that was beautiful. That was great to have that.
Were there any highlights from any of the breakout sessions or any that really kind of stuck with you?
Yes. The one that I remember, especially spoke to me with was the going through the scriptures, the Eucharist in the scripture, kind of step by step, going through the scripture in reference to how the Eucharist, everything about the Mass is taken from the scriptures.
Right.
That Dr. Edward Seery did that, break a session with that. And that was very enlightening. And then I went to a talk on gender and our human identity as Catholics with Jason Everett.
Yes.
So he gave a beautiful talk on that one.
I bet that was a good one.
That was a good one. It was packed.
Yeah. I'm sure. He's on the radio quite often, and I try to catch him whenever he's on. So
yeah,
he always has a big crowd.
Yes, he's a good speaker. And then all these main speakers out there, every one of them was great. The one that spoke to me the most, actually gave me peace, was Bishop Barron's talk. And it's the way he kind of used the Evangelical Councils of Poverty, Chastity, and Obedience to kind of highlight how we can live the Eucharistic life in the world, not just for the priests and the religious and consecrated, but also for the lay people. That was really beautiful how he laid that out. So, it overall, it was great. What I would say is there was something for everyone.
Yeah.
There was something in there for everyone. And as much as, it's easy to say, what's your favorite? What was your favorite talk? What was your favorite this, favorite that? I think it was the same spirit speaking through different mouths. One Lord, but different messages through different people for everyone.
A Pentecostal moment.
Exactly. So it's not about a favorite talk thing. It's God is speaking right now through this one.
Right.
The next talk, God is going to say something about that through that one. And the next one, the Holy Spirit is going to speak about something else through that person. So it's always good to see it from the lens of the same Lord is speaking to all of us through all these different people.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So spending all, I guess y'all were there, 5 days? Wednesday through Sunday, is that
right? Yeah, Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah. And so you get back to the airport on Sunday afternoon, and everybody had to be pretty much a little exhausted, but so enthused and hyped up and fired up. I mean, What was that plane ride home like?
Well, the plane ride home, getting to the airport and then going through security and then, while we're in the, it's funny though. It's almost like the Catholics took over everywhere.
Nothing wrong with that.
Like, yeah, the airport, you're thinking, okay, because we left much later in the day. And then I was thinking by now, okay, most people have gone. You know, I'm not expecting to see a whole lot of Catholics out there. Mm-hmm. But then you get to the airport, it's like there are nuns everywhere. There are people, all these people who have their badges everywhere. And you're passing someone, you don't even know the person, because I was wearing my cleric. And then, oh, father, okay, yeah. yay. You're waving your yay. Yeah. But I have no idea who this person is. So it was beautiful to see that. Yeah. And then while we're on the line going through security, someone brought their rosary and said, Father, could you bless this? And I did. Yeah. So that was really neat. That was beautiful.
Wow. I heard Father Wade Menezes today actually was talking about, he's not the first person I've heard say this, but remarked about the fact that the devil, to give him a little bit of credit, he was smart enough to realize that there was nothing he could ever do that was going to impact that Congress, which is why he focused on making a mockery of an athletic event on the other side of the world, on the tails of, you know, a Eucharistic Congress. You know, the devil tried his best to make a mockery of everything that we believe in, you know, with the opening ceremony nonsense. And I was really struck by the fact that, and a little bit surprised, that there wasn't, that nothing happened. I heard somebody say something about there was one guy who was running around outside the cathedral, but you really kind of, in an environment like that, you had to be a little bit waiting for that proverbial shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that had to be a little bit of trepidation for you, even as you were moving to and from the hotel and the stadium and the cathedral, right?
You know, it's kind of unusual, but beautifully unusual, that being in that space and seeing all these Catholics take over the whole city, restaurants, hotels, like everywhere, mm-hmm. we took over. So it makes you feel safe, just sure. knowing that you're in the same space with other Catholics. If you see five people on the way, three of them, four of them are Catholics. So it kind of makes you feel safe. Yeah. So I wasn't too worried about being safe.
Okay.
And then the security was really, you know, if not the best, was at its best. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the police, you had, you know, all these mm-hmm. streets were blocked off. You know, there was police presence everywhere. There was mm-hmm. security, medics everywhere. So they really planned well for the security. Yeah. But I think ultimately God was the one who protected all of us. You know, yeah. we're there with Jesus, so you can be safer.
That's right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of credit that needs to be given to Bishop Cozens and the USCCB, the city of Indianapolis, and the state of Indiana. This was first time in 83 years. Mm-hmm. This was a major undertaking.
It was amazing.
I'm already saving my nickels for 2033. somehow we'll figure out a way to get back.
It was amazing. Just being in that stadium and seeing, just imagining how much work went into the floor. It's a football stadium.
Right.
So, but they put these plastic things on the floor and turned it into, it looked like concrete.
Oh, wow.
So, it's like, how many pieces of these things did they have to bring and how many people did it take? And then they had all these chairs where people were sitting in the stadium, not the regular stadium mm-hmm, chairs, but mm-hmm. on the space. And he was like, as soon as the thing was over, 10, 15 minutes later, all the chairs were gone.
Wow.
Like, it was like that.
Wow.
The volunteers were like, go, 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 go. So you imagine how much work went into doing all that.
Sure.
And those who were behind the scenes, who nobody even knew, mm-hmm. did so much to make it successful.
Yeah.
It was very well organized. You know, I can't be more grateful to those who the idea came from, who started it, who mm-hmm. initiated it, who did everything, different roles and different parts. Yes. I mean, they did great.
So what kind of outcomes, what kind of takeaways, what are you maybe individually and collectively as the shepherd of the parish here hoping that you can bring back from Indianapolis with you?
Yeah, the one theme that struck me was, especially at the last, at the closing of the Mass, when Cardinal Luis Tegel from the Philippines, who is now the prefect for the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples, when he was celebrating the closing Mass, he started with greeting people in different languages.
Wow.
I think he mentioned like 6, 7, 8 more languages.
Oh,
English, Spanish, French,
wow.
Chinese, all these different languages. And he'll greet and he'll listen to see people will respond.
Wow.
And people from, you know, who speak this language, but they're responding. And that was very amazing at the beginning of his homily. And what that spoke to me about was the theme of unity in the church. One body, but like broken, one bread broken into many pieces, representing the different aspects, all the different grains of wheat that come together to make this one loaf. The diversity, the variety that we have. But like St. Paul says in the second reading of last Sunday, it talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You know, despite the diversity and the variety, it's what brings us together, that same Jesus. So that's one thing that spoke to me is the Mass that we have, it was in the, I'm trying to remember the rite, it's from India, one of the rites from India. It was beautiful. The singing kind of reminded me of, African culture.
Okay.
A lot in similar. I think it was Syro Malabar, right?
Syro Malabar.
Right. If I'm not mistaken. So the singing.
I probably pronounced it
the
wrong.
The order of the Mass is kind of different from the Latin rite. And there were other things that they did kind of strange. We from the Latin rite were told, okay, just watch what the other priests are doing. This is where you come in. This is where you just stay silent and not do anything. But being there was beautiful. The music was great. And just to see the young people who were singing and just the participation, the space was full. That was beautiful. Again, that aspect of unity, the different cultures coming together and still say, we are Catholic. I think that's something that we can bring to our parish because our parish is very diverse. And so being able to see the oneness as different from being same, the sameness, you know, being the same, being one is not the same as being the same.
Right.
There's variety. I mean, we all have our different ideas, different approaches to prayer, different ideologies. We disagree on different things. But to still be able to maintain, despite all these differences, to be able to say we are one Lord, we have one Lord, we have one faith, we share one baptism, we have one God. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's what the Eucharist does for us.
Amen. Amen. Unity without uniformity.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. To coin a phrase. Well, Father, thank you very much for carving some time out of your schedule and talking about the Congress. We look forward. Did they say where in 2033 they're going to do it?
I don't think they've picked a place yet.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll
so
look forward to that.
There's the little teaser for everybody. Start saving your nickels now. 2033, okay. Somewhere we'll do it again. Father, would you leave us with a blessing, please?
Oh, sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of our faith that binds us together. We thank you for the gift of our community. We thank you for the gift of one another. We thank you for the gift of the Eucharist, which is a symbol of your love for us and our union in you and in Christ. We pray that this Eucharistic revival may begin inside each of us and then influence all we say and do and think. And your love may flow through us, especially this year of election, that we may always see you in everyone and love each other the way you've loved us, and come together as all children of God, united in faith and love and charity. Bless all those in our parish and in all parishes who strive and volunteer and contribute to build one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father in faith. Build our parishes to be one. Strengthen them, provide for them, protect them, and guide every one of our families. And be with us. Grant us your grace to continue to strive until we come to meet with you in eternity in heaven. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much, Father.
Appreciate it.